This show is furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervy.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervy, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life, and I'm here by myself. First time in many months, I am flying solo, no co-host. Since Kerry Kasem left the show, I've had guest co-hosts every week. And this week, I guess I'm just going to go at it alone, but I have some great guests. And I shouldn't say I'm going to be alone because I do have my 6 and 8 year old kids here, Hudson and Harper. They're in the other room on the iPad. And we're going to bring them in the second half of the show because we have a very interesting guest. Absolutely Mindy. That's Mindy Thomas, who is on Sirius XM on Kids Place Live, the Absolutely Mindy show. And she's also a co-host on Wow in the World on NPR and Tinkercast.com. That's Mindy Thomas, and that's Wow in the World. She's got a book coming out. It's one of the best podcasts for kids and families. So if you haven't heard Wow in the World, you're gonna have a treat when you hear Mindy Thomas. And she's going to talk to Hudson and Harper in the second half hour. She's going to talk to them about what life is like as a 6 and 8 year old, 6 soon to be 7, and 8 year old. Hudson and Harper are going to be interviewed by Mindy Thomas, Absolutely Mindy. But we're going to get a little more serious in the first half hour because there's a lot of things going on in the world. And I guess our first guest, and we're happy to have him back. He was with us about a year ago, and he's not all serious. He's really an accomplished political commentator, but he's also an accomplished film reviewer and critic, having been the chief film critic at the New York Post for 6 years and co-host of Sneak Previews on PBS for about 12 years. His syndicated show, though, The Michael Medved Show, is an award-winning show. So many people listen to it. It's a show on current events, politics, history, as he is a historian, and, of course, entertainment. A well-known syndicated show. He's also a Newsweek columnist, a U.S. Today Board of Contributors, writing for U.S. Today. He's a best-selling author of 14 books. Yeah, that's 14 books. And the most recent, God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era, is a fascinating read. We're going to talk about God's Hand on America today, as well as some of the current events, which Michael Medved is an expert on and quite a commentator. Michael Medved, welcome back to Gervy's Law.
Well, thank you, Alan. Great to talk to you.
It's great to have you. And I want to start, we're going to get to the book in a few minutes, but I want to start on some of your tweets. You're a great tweeter at Medved Show. And you tweeted, I think last week or this week, interestingly, you said that listening to President Biden's inauguration address, he talked about unity, but he needs to talk about compromise. And I think you hit that on the head, where there's so much disunity and there's no perspective on compromise. Talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the world today in the United States and why compromise just doesn't seem to be a buzzword to get people to unity.
Well, first of all, a lot of people assume that compromise means selling out, and it doesn't. Compromise is the way that every great American president has ever succeeded. It's the way that any great American political leader has succeeded. I mean, people, a lot of us on the conservative side of things, look back to Ronald Reagan as a hero, and I think rightly so. But Ronald Reagan compromised on everything, and he compromised with Mikhail Gorbachev to end the Cold War. There's a famous story about Franklin Roosevelt, who's a hero, obviously, to most Americans on the center left. And Franklin Roosevelt was once asked, after he had completed his third term, he was just going into his fourth term, he says, Mr. President, have you accomplished everything you wanted to do? He said, of course not. He says, no one ever does. Not even Lincoln could. but that's you do the best you can.
Right.
And that's exactly, I think, what Joe Biden has to remind himself of. He's not going to get it all done in the first week. Now, look, I think he was very personally wounded by all of the Republican propaganda about he's senile and he's frail and he's too old and he's never going to last and this is really installing Kamala Harris as president. I never believed that. I always thought that was foolish. Joe Biden is an energetic guy. And so I think what he's trying to do is do this huge explosion of executive orders to try to prove to people this will be a vigorous presidency. There will be energy in the executive, as Hamilton said in Federalist Papers.
But
beyond that, you've got to show that you're willing to make deals.
And the interesting thing, Michael, is when you talk about the executive orders, there's one thing that seems to be getting in the way of the focus. And that's within the Democrats' control, theoretically. And it's a word called impeachment. I know you've been outspoken about that, not because you are a supporter of former President Trump, because you
never have been,
even though you show that you can be conservative and not support President Trump. But isn't the impeachment getting in the way of President Biden's program and the unity, as he talks about, or compromise, as you just alluded to? How can he move forward when many of the Democrats are so stuck on this guy who apparently you tweeted was, I can't remember the words you used, but something about him being in Florida, an old guy being in Florida and kind of staying out of the way, at least for now.
Yeah, and look, he's retired, right? He should be retired. It's time for him to retire. And Joe Biden, by the way, was retired for a few years, and then he decided to make a comeback to, in his opinion, save the soul of America. That's what he ran for. And then I think way outperformed what everybody expected as a candidate, and he's our president. But the point about President Trump is he sucks up all the oxygen in the room. And the dumbest thing in the world right now, this moment in American history, is to continue this bitter polarizing, take no prisoners, no compromises, it's either or debate on Donald Trump. He's irrelevant. He is irrelevant. And I am one of those people who is very sure and very relieved, frankly, he's not going to determine the future of the Republican Party. He shouldn't determine the future of the Republican Party. He lost. And so the need to move on from Trump, and now you could say, well, the Democrats are very cleverly keeping him front and center because that divides Republicans. There are 10 Republicans who voted for impeachment in the House. But the fact is, I think what you said, Alan, is very smart and right on the money, which is it's going to be when impeachment comes back again in about 9 days, when impeachment comes back again, comes roaring back with the Senate holding its trial, it will get in the way of President Biden accomplishing anything worthwhile. And for what? President Trump has been rejected by the American people at the ballot box. He has been impeached, the only person impeached a second time. It's enough.
So
the desire to sort of make the rubble bounce, as Churchill said about nuclear war, to try, once he's out of office, now we're going to remove him from office and ban him from ever running again. I don't think they have to ban him.
You know, just
I think if he runs again, he will get nowhere.
Quickly before we go to break, because you bring up a really, really interesting point. It seems to me that the Democrats don't have the objective that you just spoke of, which is to divide the Republican Party over Trump. It seems to me it's more of, we're going to get this guy. We've tried for 4 years. We finally have a chance, even though, of course, they really don't have a chance, most likely, with impeachment. But it doesn't seem like it's a brilliant tactical strategy to keep the Republicans apart, although, consequentially, it may.
No, because, see, it doesn't really accomplish anything for them to keep Republicans divided. What accomplishes something is get a few Republicans, just a handful, to come over to your side to get things done for the sake of the people. That's what Reagan understood. Reagan did not have a majority in the House of Representatives. The Democrats had an overwhelming majority. And Reagan was able to appeal to the so-called boll-weevil Democrats, some of them from the South, to go ahead and do his tax cuts, to do his defense budget, to do the deregulation, to do everything that he accomplished, particularly in his first term. And his last 2 years, when he got tax cuts done, the most significant Reagan tax cuts, and really brought an end to this Cold War, he didn't have control of either house. The Democrats had taken back the Senate, and they still controlled the House. But Reagan understood, you got to work with the other side. Otherwise, in Washington, nothing gets done.
You know, it just seems like a pipe dream when you talk about Reagan and then you compare it to the situation now, because compromise and working with both sides just doesn't seem to be happening. Maybe it'll change. But, you know, we want to talk more about historically the presidents and the book, God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era, has had such amazing reviews. We got to take a break, but when we come back, we want to talk about why you wrote this book and whether, in fact, it's really true given the last 4 years of President Trump. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Yeah, we're back. I'm Alan Gervie, and I'm talking to Michael Medved. You can check him out at michaelmedved.com, a great website, or tweeting at Medved Show. Michael Medved wrote a book called God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era. It has been just amazingly reviewed. I don't even know how to review these great reviews. A couple of examples, a spellbinding page-turner, Michael Medved's marvelous new book puts our current difficult moment in panoramic historical context, intensely readable and ultimately inspiring. That's from Amy Chua of Yale Law School. And then Dennis Prager talks, says, I was agnostic as to God's role in American history. That I am no longer in doubt about God's hand on America, as proof of how persuasive this book is. And as a bonus, you get to learn history from one of the greatest living American historians. And Ben Shapiro says, Michael Medved is one of the nation's greatest historical thinkers, and God's hand on America isn't just inspiring. It reignites faith in God and the country upon which he has so richly dispensed his blessings. These are some high praise for a wonderful book. I have to ask you, Michael, because it begs the question that some of these commentators, if you go check out the reviews, it's not only Dennis Prager or Ben Shapiro who are known to have religious backgrounds, but there's others as well. But the question becomes, why, when you wrote this book, did you not focus on America being better, smarter, richer, and that's why it's been favorable in history versus God and God's hand on America?
Well, because if you actually look at American history and you go back, this is a second part of a series of books. The first book was called The American Miracle, which was retitled, right, or which was subtitled, The Divine Providence in the Rise of the Republic. And that covered American history up to 1865. The brand new book, which in many ways is more interesting, I learned more in doing it, is American history since 1865. And one of the things that's fascinating is that no one, certainly not in 1800, and not even in 1850, would have ever predicted that America would be the dominant power in the world. I mean, if you look at someone, there's a professor of history at University of Pennsylvania named Walter McDougall, who actually writes about, if you were an individual alive in the 1600s, and all of a sudden you were moved forward in a time machine to 2021, you'd be able to look around the world and recognize a lot of countries because they still have the same culture and the same problems. Russia has always been viewed as sort of the country of the future, and it always will be. because the future never seems to arrive for the Russians. They have a lot of problems. China has a great sense of itself, but a grudge on its shoulder. You have the Islamic world, which is plagued by potential, but all kinds of internal warfare, and on and on and on. France, of course, looks down on the rest of the world, and nobody else really can understand why. The one thing that no one would have predicted and no one would recognize was that the center of the world economy, the world militarily, world culture, civilization, the center is in North America. Now, how did that happen? And virtually all of our major political leaders and most of our great historians until, say, about 1920 or 1930 believed that it was providence. That there was a divine role in designing America, not to just harvest our winnings and to enjoy privileges, but to shoulder responsibilities. That America was there and was favored by providence, by fate, by nature, by the irresistible will of history. America was favored for the purpose of bending that moral arc of the universe toward justice, to paraphrase Dr. King. And it's really finding those purposes and trying to discern them that is the mark of a statesman. I quote in my book, in God's Hand on America, I quote Bismarck, the great Iron Chancellor of Germany, who said it is the job of every statesman to listen for God's footsteps in history and then to grab his coattails and hang on.
Wow. You know, it's interesting because you do focus on so many examples, and there's 10 real-life examples in the book that talk about this divine intervention or this purposeful pattern, the special blessing, if you will. But then there's examples that may not be so much of divine intervention for those who believe in God. When we talk about 9/11, when we talk about the situation that we're dealing with now, the last few years, and some of the problems that the country has seen, how do you balance it when you're looking at all these examples, which are so richly stated in your book, versus some that may not be covered because they're really not what you would expect from a purposeful pattern?
Well, again, some of these purposeful patterns, some of what I talk about in my book is exactly what you're looking at. For instance, the first big episode in this book takes place on the same night that Lincoln was assassinated, one of the most terrible things that ever happened to our country, which seemed like more than a curse to the country than a blessing, especially since Lincoln was replaced by his vice president, who had just been inaugurated, Andrew Johnson, who was a disaster. But in any event, the point is, that same night that Lincoln was killed, the Secretary of State, who was lying sick because he had almost killed himself in a carriage accident, and he had a big iron plate on his jaw, the Secretary of State, William Henry Seward, was attacked by one of Booth's Confederates and one of his co-conspirators, and was attacked by a knife. And he brought down a 6-inch blade of the knife on his throat of this old man, the Secretary of State, 4 times. And each time it hit something, and now the assassin, Lewis Powell, didn't realize it was striking this iron plate that had been assembled on his jaw
right,
to protect him, to help heal his jaw after this carriage accident. In any event, Seward lived, and it is only because he lived that we have Alaska, because nobody right. else, and again, we had a very weak president, we had a very divided Congress, we had a Congress that was very very skeptical. The Secretary of State, William Henry Seward, Seward's folly, so-called, got us Alaska. And what I quote in the book, and I hadn't known this before, is that Putin observed the 150th anniversary of America purchasing Alaska from Russia in 2017, so 150 years. And he talked about, he said, had this not happened, this is Putin talking now,
right?
Had this not happened, we would not have lost the Cold War. We would have won. And it's probably true. If they had had missiles in Alaska, not in Cuba, think of what that would have meant in 1963.
Right. You can't even imagine.
Yeah, you know, so the things that look terrible, like an attack on the Secretary of State and the death of President Lincoln, things that look terrible sometimes in the rear view of history have a truly higher purpose. I'll give you another example. You mentioned September 11th. Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor was unimaginable. I mean, there are 3,000 Americans who were killed. They destroyed most of our Pacific Fleet. But if you look back and you look back at how isolationist America was, how determined not to be involved in a war against monstrous evil, Japanese militarism and Nazism in Europe, without something very much like Pearl Harbor, could America have been totally united with people like my young father at age 19 enlisting to serve the country? It would not have happened.
I mean, I think you're talking about the ultimate in silver linings. We often hear about silver linings, and maybe when we're looking at history now, back at this period of time, maybe we're going to see some other silver lining. I mean, you've been so optimistic. God's hand on America is really a tale of optimism. What do we take? We only have a couple minutes, but what do we take from it moving forward?
Well, I think what we take from it moving forward is the same kind of optimism that a lot of Americans, not all, but many Americans feel about the switch in Washington, D.C. One of the things I hate, Alan, is this thing that this is the last election we're ever going to have, and if our side doesn't win, it'll be the end of America. Adam Smith, the founding father of capitalism, said there's a great deal of ruin in a nation. And there have always been predictions that America is through, but betting against America is a sucker's bet. We come through, I think we're going to come through again. You know, it's an interesting thing. Biden used to use, say, in all of his speeches, and he's been in politics forever since the earth cooled. He used to say, you know, my grandfather used to tell me that God has special protection for drunken Irishmen and for the United States of America. And he was asked by the New York Times after Trump won in 2016. He was asked, well, okay, Vice President Biden, do you still believe that God has special protection for drunken Irishmen in the United States of America? He says, I don't know about the Irishmen, but I'm sure about the country.
Well, I think those are prophetic words, and he's probably right. The book is called God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era. You can go to michaelmedved.com or, of course, anywhere else where you get your books, Amazon or any other place. He tweets at Medved Show. The show is the Michael Medved Show. It's syndicated all over. Michael Medved, good luck with the book, and thank you so much. As usual, it's such a treat to have you here on Gervie's Law.
Well, it's a joy speaking to you, and may we all see good times of blessing ahead.
I love the optimism, and I second that. Be well, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're coming back with Absolutely Mindy and Hudson and Harper. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. What's going on? Yeah, it's Alan Gervie. I'm here at KBC with Gervie's Law, and I don't have a co-host this evening. I don't understand what happened. No one showed up. I'm by myself. I have to sing by myself. I used to have Carrie Kasem, who was a great singer, Jillian Barbary, great singer. All of these people sang with me, and here I am by myself. Oh, wait a second. I'm not by myself. There are two kids in this studio. Two kids in the studio. And it's funny because in the break, I couldn't see little Hudson and Harper, and I moved one of the monitors, and I keep moving it, and Hudson said to me, are you trying to put the monitor in front of my face so I can't see you? And I said, no, Hudson, I would never do that. I always want to see kids. I want to see them front and center. Hudson and Harper, welcome back to Gervie's Law, the name that you have as a second name.
Hi.
Hi. Hudson, are you going to say hi?
Hi.
Get closer to the mic.
Hi.
Eat that mic. There, are you eating it? Does it taste like ice cream?
No.
No, what does it taste like?
It doesn't taste like anything.
I didn't think so, because it's not food. Okay, you guys are smiling, and you're going to smile more, because we are so lucky. Hudson and Harper, you know how lucky you are today? Because you are going to be one of the Wowzer fans. One of the Wowzer fans. We're taking a break from the tough world of law, the tough world of politics. It was great having Michael Medved on, but sometimes kids have to be front and center, and our next guest has made kids front and center for most of her adult life. She is the proud co-host of iHeartRadio, choosing Wow in the World as the Kids and Family Podcast of the Year, one of the most popular podcasts in the world. Wow in the World. A lot of worlds here. She's the host of the award-winning Absolutely Mindy show. You guys, you listen to Absolutely Mindy on Kids Place Live. We always have SiriusXM on our radio when we're gone. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And who else? What's that weird guy that in the monkey house? You don't like him much, do you?
Mm.
Yeah, you do. Isn't he kind of kooky?
Jack? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but Absolutely Mindy is absolutely fantastic. The book that's coming out is Wow in the World, The How and Wow of the Human Body, and you guys are looking forward to it. It's for parents and kids. She is one of the most engaging personalities on podcasts and radio. Someone once called her the only genuine and natural for kids that they've ever heard, which could be true. She co-hosts Wow in the World with Guy Raz, and we have to introduce her. She's not here with you. Don't you wish she was right here in front of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Mindy Thomas, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hello.
Can I hear a hello? Hudson?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Oh. Great. Can you guys hear?
Hello, Harper.
Not really.
You can't hear? Harper, you can't hear?
No, I can't hear. Like, really good.
Well, how good can you hear?
Like, I can't hear, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we need to check out your ears? Do you have cauliflowers in your ears?
No.
No. No. Okay. We'll see if you can hear. If you can hear, put up your arm or your hand like you have to go to the bathroom, but you don't. You just can't hear. So, Mindy, tell us. It's been a wild ride for you. You know, I read that you started out as a kid really loving radio, in the closet, listening to radio with a hairbrush as a microphone. How did you get to be one of the real idols of kids and families all over the world?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I started off as a kid just like Harper and Hudson, and like you said, playing radio in my closet with my brother, using a hairbrush as a microphone. I loved, loved, loved radio as a kid. I loved audio recordings. I remember when my brother had gotten a tape recorder for his birthday. Have you ever heard of a tape recorder, Harper, Hudson? Have you ever heard of a tape? Anywho.
Can you
so
hear?
It was this thing that you could record your voice on.
Hear.
You could
Sorry.
Hear.
Yeah, I heard it. I've heard of a tape recorder. Hudson, can you hear Mindy?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Harper's headphones that aren't working. All right. Hudson, Mindy asked if you'd hear a tape recorder. What is a tape recorder? Before your time?
Way before your time.
Yeah. So you used to sit with a tape recorder.
It was like a phone, only it couldn't do anything but play music or record your voice. So I used to record my voice and play it back and make up commercials for fake things and fake products and just played and played and played and played and played my whole childhood. And then I got a little bit older and realized I didn't want to stop playing. So I got a job where I could keep doing that same thing. And that's when I started at Kids Place Live and SiriusXM. And I have been doing that show. This will be my 20th year.
Wow.
Doing the Absolutely Mindy show.
You're dating yourself.
Yeah. And about 4 years ago, Guy Raz, my partner in WOW, and I, we broke off and started WOW in the World, which was a show that kind of got its start in a way on my Absolutely Mindy show when we started doing a news segment together called the Breakfast Blast Newscast. And we realized as we were telling news, all of the fun news to share, all of the hopeful news to share seemed to be in science and technology. And so we decided to break off and start this WOW in the World podcast, not having any idea if anybody would want to listen to it, but we knew if the worst came to worst, we would have fun making it. And it's now 4 years into the future from that day. We just hit 100 million downloads, and it seems to be reaching kids all over the world.
That's amazing. So how do you do it? Let's ask Hudson and Harper how you can engage them in the science. I know Guy Raz said it's like hiding kale in a smoothie. And, you know, they're sitting here. They go to school. In fact, tomorrow they're starting back at school. They've been at remote, and they're going to go for 2.5 hours a day starting tomorrow. But how do you engage them in these amazing, wonderful, WOW in the World scientific discoveries?
Well, I'm going to tell you a secret. Okay, Harper and Hudson, when I was your age, I did not think that I liked science. It wasn't fun for me. I didn't think it was interesting. And then as I got older and started discovering science on my own, I realized just how fascinating it was. And the other thing I realized is that scientists are so much like kids. They follow their curiosity. They come up with ridiculous ideas. And instead of brushing them off as ridiculous, they follow through and they do experiments. And they do experiments that might completely fail and things might go completely wrong. But that's part of the experiment. So they keep going and they keep following their curiosity until they find answers or sometimes just more questions to their curiosity. So how we engage kids, I think we do our best to break down really hard things in really fun ways. And for anybody who's listened to WOW in the World, we have this whole world that we've created around the new scientific discoveries that we talk about in our show. So it's sort of like a science cartoon for your mind. But you can't see it except for in your imagination. You could only listen to the pictures you make up.
Does that make sense to you, Hudson Harper, when you think of the imagination in your mind? Think about that. What's in your mind? Harper, what are you thinking about?
I don't know.
You don't know? What kind of science thing? What is interesting for a kid? Tell me something that's interesting.
Puppies.
All right, let's ask Mindy. How do we turn puppies into WOW in the World?
Well, puppies are so fascinating, no matter who you are. In fact, I just got a new puppy over the holidays. But we have a whole episode on puppies and how to talk to your dog, I think is the name of the episode. And it talks about a scientist did a study that found it's not what you say to your dog, it's how you say it. So talking in a high-pitched voice will get a better response from your dog than if you were to speak in full sentences or even use dog-like words in a very serious voice. It's all in how you say it. Do you have a puppy?
Yeah.
You do? How old's your puppy?
I don't know.
How old do you think? Hudson, how old is Fuzzy?
I think 8 months.
8 months, right. He's 8 months. And what kind of puppy is Fuzzy?
He's a Cavapoo.
And what's that?
That's what I have.
No way.
Yeah, I have the same kind of dog. My puppy is only 3 months old.
Oh, that's so cool. 3 months.
So, yeah, we have the same dog. What are the odds?
What color is your dog?
He's an apricot. So kind of a light brown.
Hudson, what color's Fuzzy?
He's like a white and a light brown.
Yeah, white and light brown. And
maybe they could be friends someday.
If you wanted, and first of all, you have to ask Mindy what the name of her puppy is. And if you wanted to tell her a little bit, because you've had Fuzzy for about 6 months or 5 months now, and tell her what kind of what kind of personality Fuzzy has. So she'll know what to look for in her Cavapoo.
Yeah, give me all the scoop.
He really, if a food drops, he usually runs to the table and eats it.
That's all you can think of? How do you compare Fuzzy to Sophie, the old dog who you had when you were born?
Well, one's big and one's small.
And what about their personalities? Because Mindy wants to know what kind of dog. What's your Cavapoo's name?
Teddy.
Teddy?
I've got a question for you. How do I get my Cavapoo Teddy to stop peeing right in front of the door?
Do
you have any tricks?
Well, Fuzzy usually barks, and then that's or stands near the door. Then that's how we know that he has to go to the bathroom. Like, he stands near the
happens.
Door.
Yeah.
How did you train him to do that, though, Harper?
Because now he has a crow. We have crows, and he barks at the crow, that's like his secret signal that he has to go to the bathroom.
Oh, really? Oh. So you got to get crows there, Mindy.
We need the crows. Can you send some? Just tell them to fly my way. I'm across
fly
the
out
country.
East. You know, one of the things, though, Hudson, I'm sure you will agree with. Isn't Fuzzy one of the most lovable, caring, sensitive dogs you've ever seen?
Yes.
I asked Hudson. Hudson, can you get closer to the mic, please?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So how would you describe him? Isn't he lovable? What does he like to do?
He likes to chase crows and run around.
What about with people? How is he with people?
He's very cuddly. Yeah. He lets you hold him and pet him.
Yeah, and that's something that I think Mindy can look forward to because he's one of the most lovable dogs. He sits with you. He's very loyal, isn't he?
Yeah.
What happened today when you tried to go out for a bike ride? What did he want to do?
What was it? He wanted to go on a bike ride with you.
Yeah, he didn't want you to go
bike. You taught your dog how to ride a bike? That's amazing. Two-wheeler? Training wheels?
Well, we didn't really teach him to ride a bike.
No. He didn't go he didn't go with you, did he?
No. We just went over to the dog park. Rode my bike to the dog park.
You know what I think our goal should be for 2021? We should teach our dogs how to ride bikes.
Yeah.
No training wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson, you think they could
little
do that?
Helmet.
Could the dog ride a bike?
Maybe. Well, I saw a video of a dog riding a bike.
You did?
Yeah.
It was probably wow in the world. Because that's like something really, that's a real wow.
Yeah. And that dog, I saw the dog also knows how to ride a scooter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, now that's crazy talk. A scooter? A bike, I can understand. A scooter, we're getting out of control now.
You know, we got to calm down. We're getting a little too excited. We got to take a break. We're talking to Mindy Thomas. The book is called Wow in the World, The How and Wow of the Human Body. We're going to come back after the break, talk to Hudson and Harper, and talk a little bit about Absolutely Mindy. And you're listening to Absolutely Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Here with Hudson and Harper. You didn't say how old you were. Harper, how old are you?
6. Well, I'm about to turn 7 in February.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday. I'm excited for that. And what about you, Hudson?
I just turned 8.
You just turned 8, and you had a fun time turning 8, didn't you?
Yeah.
And it's been kind of tough, though, with your remote learning and not being able to see your friends. We're talking to Mindy Thomas of Absolutely Mindy show on Kids Place Live and Wow in the World, the podcast on NPR and Tinkercast.com. Mindy, tell us about how it's been for you dealing with kids who are obviously having a tough time, not being able to see their friends, to go to school, and to do the activities that they love to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I talk to kids every morning on SiriusXM's Kids Place Live, my morning show, who are in the same boat that I am here with my family. My kids are still being taught virtually. It's been a challenging year, but I think that we're finding, I think the trick is to focus on the things that we're gaining out of this year. My daughter, she's 10 years old, and she, as she put it, nothing bad has been put in this year. Just a lot of good stuff has been taken out. So, I think our kids at least are finding lots more time to play in the neighborhood with other kids outside. You know, they've got their masks on, they're trying to keep their distance. Whereas maybe before they would all be in activities after school. I feel like it's a little bit of a throwback to our childhood, like yours, Alan, and mine.
Right.
When, I don't know, we were kids and wasn't a whole lot we could do. So we were running around the neighborhood and we were riding bikes and we were playing in the woods. And I'm seeing a lot more of that these days. Like when everything else is taken away, you will always, always have your imagination, and you can take that with you wherever you go. And it's always going to be with you when you're at home. So, gosh, I remember when I was a kid, you know, the winters having nothing to do outside and just having to make my own fun. And I would turn my bedroom into a museum or my closet into the dry cleaners, or there's just, I think kids are probably handling this a lot better than a lot of adults.
It's such a great point. And I'm just thinking back of my childhood when we didn't have a lot of the things, the social media and the iPads and everything else. And you do really get in touch with, either nature, your imagination, or lots of things. What did you, Hudson and Harper, think about this weekend? What kind of fun stuff did you do? Because I know you did a lot of stuff, and you weren't really hurting that much. What did you do? What did you do yesterday morning, for instance? Where were you? You don't remember yesterday? How hard is it to remember yesterday? You played baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Where did you play baseball?
At the park.
Yeah, and were there a few friends there who were socially distanced playing with you?
Yeah.
And what about Hudson? What did you do yesterday afternoon? Where did you go?
Played hockey.
Where did you play hockey?
At a hockey rink.
Yeah, and were you wearing a mask?
Yeah.
And you played with a bunch of other kids?
Uh-huh.
Score any goals?
I didn't score any goals.
Not yesterday, but the week before you scored 12, so that you had enough for a couple of weeks. What about today? What did you do today, Harper?
I played softball.
Yeah? Where did you play softball? At the park?
Yeah.
And you had a few kids there with masks on?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Did you ride your bike?
Yeah.
So I think, Mindy, that's exactly what you're talking about, that the kids can actually do things. There is a silver lining. We've been talking about silver linings all afternoon on this show. What have you guys, Hudson Harper, what have you learned to appreciate about this kind of different world we're living in right now? Family?
Yeah. Yeah.
You spending more time with your family?
Uh-huh.
Why don't you ask Mindy if she spends more time with her family, even though she's really, really busy with a lot of shows? You want to ask her?
Do you spend more time with your family?
Oh, yeah. I spend a lot more time with my family, and you were talking about silver linings, and I realized the other day that I've probably gotten more hugs this year from my family than I never would have gotten this many hugs, because we pass each other in the hallway. We're all doing our own thing during the day, but you know, we have those little moments where we meet up and there's always a little hug or snuggle or a little kiss. And it's really nice to have all those moments that I just kind of cherishing those times, because I know that this part will not last forever. And of course I want my kids to be back in school, because they want to be back in school. But, yeah, in the meantime, that's what we've got.
And
you got to look at
You know, I think, you know, Hudson said earlier he talked to me about the word optimism, something that he learned. Mm-hmm. What is optimism? Because Mindy's talking about that when she talks about hugs and the family. What does it mean for you guys to look forward to something good that's optimistic in the future versus some of the negative stuff that we've been dealing with this year? Huds? What can you think of? Harper, can you think of anything?
No.
No? We're talking all this fun, warm, cuddly stuff. Puppies and softball and hockey. Harp? Are you going to have...
One of the things that I... You know what I'm thinking is happening here is I think one of the things that I love the most about kids is that you guys are so good at living in the present. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're doing at that moment in time, that's all that's happening in your world. So you're not doing something thinking about, well, this is fine, but what I really wish I was doing is this. Whatever you're doing is what you're doing. And if you're having fun, you're having fun. If you're not having fun, you'll move on to something else. But I think maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. We got to close out, but I think that's such a wonderful point to close out with. You guys, living in the moment, I got to look at kids and I've got to think about living in the moment so we don't worry as much. Are you guys, can you give me a big smile and say thank you to Mindy for coming on the show today?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fun talking with you all. And good luck with Fuzzy.
Yeah, Fuzzy. And you're going to love it. It's Teddy, right?
Yeah.
Teddy. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you Harper guys wants to, Harper wants to meet Teddy. He wants Fuzzy and Teddy to have a play date.
We'll make it happen.
We'll make it happen. The book is Wow in the World Be Out. What is it, March 2nd when it comes out?
March 2nd, yes.
Wow March in 2nd. The World.
Wow in the Human Body and available for pre-order now.
Pre-order now, and you can listen to her on NPR, tinkercast.com. You can check that out, the books. Wow in the World podcast and Absolutely Mindy on Sirius Kids Place Live. Mindy Thomas, thanks for being with us here on Garvey's Law.
Thank you.
All right, take it easy. And kids, Hudson and Harper, thank you. You really made my day today. So thrilled that you were with me. What do you say to Daddy?
Thank you.
I'll see you. See you for dinner in 5 minutes. Thanks for listening.
This show was furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.